إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, I am in Cape Town. Truly one of the most beautiful places on earth. The Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is visible in every direction that I look. I arrived here after a 17-hour flight, given the stops and so on, close to almost 20 hours. And I met this wonderful friend, the founder and owner of Muslim Central, the aggregator of different Islamic material from different sources. Some of these further reminders are also on Muslim Central, wonderful new business, and wonderful brother who I was very happy to meet. And one of the things that we sort of discovered, and his name is Nathmi from Cape Town, one of the things we discovered is that he and I share love for the outdoors. So he suggested to me, he said, "Do you want to take rest, or do you want to come and see? Do you want me to take you around?" So, you know, my answer is not difficult to guess. So we went off from Cape Town, eventually to a place called Hermanus, which is about 150 kilometers from here. So after that 17 hours thing, we did this 300 kilometer drive, and then I had a lecture on Muslim NGOs at the conference that I am attending, the ImanNet conference. So it was a long day. Now, I'm not saying all this to give you an update on what I'm doing, because that's not important. What's important is that I wanted to go and check out my photographs of which I took yesterday on this drive on Instagram. I'm going to request Omar to put the link here. You will see some, inshallah, very beautiful photographs of the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not beautiful because I took them, but beautiful because Allah created them, created what I photographed. Literally, it's in South Africa, the grass is beautiful, the soil is beautiful. I mean, it's an amazingly beautiful country. We drove along the coast, so we had the sea on our right and the mountain on our left, all along to Hermanus, and then that's where you can actually see whales from the coast, from you know standing on the coast. You don't have to go into the sea in a boat to see whales. So as they say, when the whale calls, you go. In this particular case, of course, I went without the whale calling. But so check out the picture. But what I also, what is stark in South Africa is when we were passing through, going to the on the highway, we drove through what's called the Cape Flats, and the Cape Flats are the poor area of Cape Town. Now, I happen to have some very, alhamdulillah, rich and powerful friends and acquaintances in Cape Town, Muslim and non-Muslim, white, Jewish as well. So I have seen some of the Strand, and I've seen and I've been to homes which are, several $1 million in terms of their value. Lots of $1 million, and not just several $1 million. So I've seen the affluent side of Cape Town. But when I come to the Cape Flats, I see another side of Cape Town. Again, both Muslim and non-Muslim. And alhamdulillah, I have friends among the Muslims. I don't know any non-Muslims on this side of town, but I have friends among the Muslims here. Very simple homes, very humble homes, very small, people who are really poor, but with very, very big hearts, alhamdulillah. wonderful people who have been here, who were born here, people who are the living history of Cape Town, among the first people in a place called Makassar, Sunflate, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Yeah, my brother Fazal Dair is an official tourist there. And that's where Tuan Guru, the one of the first, or if not the first, migrants came as a he was banished from the Malayan Dutch colony to the Cape Dutch colony, and he came and he set up alhamdulillah the first Muslim foothold in Southern Africa. So those homes and as I said, small homes, big hearts. May Allah bless them and grant them great success. People who they grow vegetables and fruit and they breed horses. I mean, you must see some amazing, beautiful, absolutely fantastic horses in this part of the world. So the point is that we have these contrasts. So here I am driving along and I look to one side and I see what South Africa likes to call townships. Township is a misnomer because township is what anyone else in any part of the world would call slum, which is a slightly bigger word for the same thing. Houses, for want of a better word, you have to call them houses because I don't know what else to call them, but made of GI sheets, somehow tied together or riveted together. So the whole, it's like a box. It has GI sheet walls and it has a GI sheet, galvanized iron sheet roof. Imagine living in that in the summer and then imagine living in that in the winter. Winters here can be extremely cold. You can get snow and frost. So it's not a simple winter like we have in Hyderabad. Where when it gets to 15 degrees, we start pulling out our sweaters. Here, winter is serious. The same thing happens also, of course, in Johannesburg, where the winter is very, very severe. I mean, I've been in Johannesburg in July. I'm again going to be in Johannesburg in July. I've been invited to speak at the marriage conference. And July is bitterly cold in Johannesburg. It's extremely, extremely cold, minus sub-zero temperatures and so on. So you have people living in that kind of poverty in these slums. Houses made of tin. I've seen houses made of sheets of plastic, and you know, I mean, unbelievable to see that kind of poverty. At the same time, you look on the other side and you have this amazing opulence, it's beautiful mansions, every single kind of fancy car that you can imagine. I've been inside those mansions, works of art, you know, each of which is probably more valuable than the entire township, not just a house. And of course, surrounded, they're like Fort Knox. I think it's probably easier to get into Fort Knox than into one of these places, because they are completely surrounded by multiple levels of security. It's not just one, you know, wall or something. It's multiple levels of security. Question is why? And of course, the answer is just do a Google search on crime in South Africa. You'll understand. It's like it's probably worse. In terms of deaths, it's probably more than some war zones. Rapes, it's really, really horrible. I mean, I don't know what to say or how to say that. Point is, why? And the answer is not in the terms that you probably like to hear. Answer is not because of bad government, blah, blah, blah. No. The answer is because of lack of compassion. You know, I want to mention to you two things. One is a basic principle, which is the principle of osmosis. Osmosis is when two liquids of different concentration are separated by a semi-permeable membrane. Then the liquid with which is less concentrated moves through the semi-permeable membrane into the liquid which is of a higher concentration until they both become equally concentrated. Now, think about this. We're not saying the other way around. We're not saying that the liquid with the higher concentration moves into the liquid with lesser concentration. It's the other way around. So if you have sugar solution on one side of the semi-permeable membrane and you have water on the other side, the water will move into the sugar solution, not vice versa. So if you are in a situation where you do not want water to move into the sugar solution, what must you do? One of two things: either make the membrane impermeable, from being semi-permeable, make it impermeable, make it a glass sheet or something, so that the thing that can't come through, or put in sugar into the water. So now the water is not coming into your sugar solution. You have put in sugar into the water, so the water now has the same concentration as your side and your sugar solution, and there's no need for the osmosis to take place. Why am I describing this to you? I'm describing this to you because this is the process of osmosis which in human society is called crime. This is the process of osmosis which in human society is called refugee problem, right? Why are Syrian refugees going into Europe? Why don't Syrian refugees go into, say, sub-Saharan Africa? Or why don't they go into Nigeria? Or why don't they go into Somalia, right? Why do they go into Europe? Why is there crime in South Africa? Because of the process of osmosis. Lower concentrated liquids go into liquids of higher concentration, not vice versa. So now you get somebody like Donald Trump and he says, build a wall, make the membrane impermeable. But you know something? You can do that in a laboratory when you are doing an osmosis experiment. But in life, you can't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given us the capacity to live behind impermeable walls. So the membrane being semi-permeable is a fact of life. It is a law of nature. You can't change that just like you can't change gravity. You can't change that just like you can't change thermodynamics. These are given laws of society, and so is the law of osmosis of society, which is that the poorer people will move into the richer areas until the concentration of wealth becomes relatively equal. I'm not saying everyone will have exactly $10 in their pockets, they won't, but relatively equal. The poorer people will move into the wealthier parts of the world until the gradient between the haves and the have-nots more or less equalizes. Now, this process is not necessarily peaceful. This process is not necessarily even pleasant. That's why we call it crime. That's why we call it refugee crisis, where people come in and they take what you are not willing to give of your own volition because of your compassion. People will come and take. And when they take, they don't necessarily take in nice ways. They take in nasty ways. And you don't like it. Of course you don't like it. So what must we do? We must open our hearts. And this is what Islam teaches us. Islam says when you have wealth, the wealth has been given to you in trust. The wealth has not been given to you unilaterally without responsibility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not signed it off and said, Mr. So-and-so, this is yours, do with it whatever you like. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it in trust to the wealthy so that they make sure that those who do not have the wealth share in that wealth. As I said, Allah did not say give it all away. No, not give it all away. That's for the We have examples of those who gave it all away as examples for us to follow, and inshallah we try to follow them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, share what you have, share from what you have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, anfiqu mimma razaqnakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, anfiqu mimma razaqnakum. Oh, you who believe, spend from what we have given you. Min qabli an ya'tiya yawm, before that day comes on you, la bay'un fihi wala khullatun wala shafa, where there is no trade on that day, and there is no friendship on that day, and there is no intercession on that day, illa ma sha Allah, except for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore said, the people who deny, al-kafiruna humu zalimun, the people who deny this, the people who refuse to accept it, they are the oppressors, and they are the zalimun, and they are the people who are rebellious against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the law we are talking about? The law we are talking about is the law of osmosis, which Allah created. The law which says that share what you have. Have compassion and share what you have. Now, what I see in Cape Town, and again, the same place in other places, here it's very stark, so it's very visible, which is that, you know, all that you have to do to temporarily ignore is look in the other direction. So in one direction I look, I see these absolutely horrific so-called townships, which are full of people. I notice two things in these townships. One, you know, amazing, three things that I notice in these townships when I drive through them. One is the abject poverty, the absolute, you know, the deprivation is devastating to see that. Number one. Number two, I see a huge number of young people. I have to search to find old people. And yesterday, I always look, people, you know, you might think I'm going around just sightseeing. I don't do any sightseeing. I observe, I consciously observe what I'm doing and what I'm seeing. I don't find old people. You have to hunt for them, you would look for them. Young people everywhere, boys and girls, young people everywhere. And the third thing I see and I sense is a huge amount of energy, massive amounts of energy. You go into the townships, you're not looking at a place without energy. You're not looking at a dead place, which is people who have accepted their fate, people who are sitting there in desolation. No, here you have deprivation. You have a huge number of young people and you have enormous energy. Believe me, my brothers and sisters, that is a very dangerous combination. That is an incredibly dangerous combination. That is a combination which promises explosive change, which promises enormous and explosive change. I don't know. People seem to be blind to this. I don't know. And I'm thinking to myself, why are they blind? And then I turn around and I see this amazing beauty and the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different colors of sand, different colors of rock, different colors of soil. The cave bush, you know, it's a different, completely different type of vegetation. Low bushes, multiple colors, and all colors of greens and browns. I'm not talking about flowers, I'm talking about just about the plants and the leaves, and amazing, fabulous colors, birds and animals. I said, subhanAllah, what a beautiful country. And then I realized to myself that is the reason why it's so easy to ignore the poverty and the pain and the suffering, which is on the other side. All you need to do is look on one side and you can forget about everything else. But believe me, just because you want to forget about it, it doesn't disappear. Just because you want to look at the beauty of the ocean, it does not mean the land vanished. Just because you want to look at the beauty of the Cape Mountains, it does not mean that the Cape Flats don't exist. And I'm giving you the example of the Cape only because I'm sitting here now. This applies in other parts of South Africa, and it applies, wallahi, in other parts of the world. The country that I come from in India, exactly the same situation. Not exactly the same, different. For example, we have Mukesh Ambani's billion-dollar monstrosity, which he likes to call a house, arising out of the Dharavi slum. So it's not so easy to ignore poverty in my country. But in a country like South Africa, in the West, very easy to ignore it, because all you need to do is look in the other direction and it's as if it's gone. But believe me, it hasn't gone. It is not gone. It is right there and it's coming. And what must we do to save ourselves from that? Is do what you know you must do. Is open your hearts. Open your hearts, open your minds, open your thoughts, open your pockets, and make sure that reverse osmosis happens. Make sure that wealth flows from you, from where you have, instead of the luxuries that you have. You do not need a million houses worth millions of dollars. You need a good, decent house, and it does not cost you millions of dollars. You do not need depreciating assets in terms of transportation. You need good cars. You do not need that. You do not need the kind of luxury that you have become accustomed to. You do not need the flashy multi-million dollar masajid with all kinds of shiny domes and all that sort of thing. You need khushu in your heart, and you need noor in the masjid of the work of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us get our priorities right, and I'm talking directly to you who have wealth. I'm talking to the wealthy of the world. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put me somewhere in the periphery of that. I'm talking to people like myself. I'm talking to people who are wealthy in more ways than one, and I'm saying, wake up and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent you into this dunya to do. And if you don't do that, then wallahi, not only will you answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, but you will become the victim of osmosis. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you and your descendants from that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to open your hearts, big hearts, not just big houses, big hearts, to open your hearts and to give to those who do not have. Don't think throwing scraps works. Don't think throwing bones from your table works. Sufficient money, substantial work and donations for the welfare of the people who do not have. Poverty is cancer. Poverty is cancer. But unlike cancer, it is completely and totally curable. But just like cancer, if you do not cure poverty, poverty will destroy you. Believe me, poverty will destroy you. And building walls between yourself and poverty does not work. Read my lips, does not work. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the laws, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who can do something about those laws. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made those laws for the benefit of the world. Because believe me, looking at it purely from a material sense, a country that is divided in lines of poverty is a country which has a weak economy. A country, on the other hand, which does not have poverty. Look at the Scandinavian countries. Look at that part of Europe. People, they also have very wealthy people, but they do not have very poor people. And that's why those are strong economies. It is in the interest, if you don't want to believe in Allah, if you don't want to believe in compassion, if you don't want to believe in kindness, then believe in money, for God's sake. Have some sense. An economy that is strengthened by bringing up a strong middle class, by removing poverty, abject poverty, is a very strong economy. So it's in the interest of the haves, it is in the interest of those who have money and wealth and power, to make sure that that is shared with people who don't have it, not only for reasons of compassion, but for economic reasons. For economic reasons, make sure they are entrepreneurs, create entrepreneurship, make sure they have wealth, send good education, good health care, good housing, clean water, electricity, and so on and so forth. Make sure that those people become productive members of society who contribute. If you don't do that, then you are sitting with cancer in your gut, which is draining your blood. You think you look very nice because you put on a lot of makeup on your face, but your blood is being drained by that cancer, and a day will come when you will die. It's as simple as that. ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sense and to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and that which is beneficial for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.